This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Just last week, we were talking about recycling, and I brought up the fact that my wife was like, always, we need to do a TV story or something on the actual process of recycling and see actually where it goes and what happens. And then lo and behold, Brian Slattery and the New Haven Independent did it for New Haven. So it was like on front of mind. And he joins us now on Brian and Company. Brian, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm good. I mean, first and foremost, I know you do a lot of art and music and stuff. Like, what brought you to the story in the first place?
The same motivation that you had. I think on one side there was like, you know, you see things in the store that are made of 100% recycled products. And on the other hand, you keep reading news stories about how nothing is getting recycled. And I thought, well, you know, this is confusing. And maybe it's, you know, most of it is that we don't really understand how recycling works. And I figured I would just kind of follow the thread, and see what I could find out.
Well, it is. And I've read a ton of stories, too, that a lot of it just ends up in the trash and, you know, and it's too complicated to separate stuff out, all this different stuff. I'm just curious, from one perspective, like, did you do this independently or did you go to New Haven and they walked you through it? Because I was wondering if the providers were putting their, like, quote-unquote, best foot forward for this.
That's, you know, great question. I mean, it was the motivation was all on my side. A lot of it was about sort of getting them to trust me that I was that I wasn't there to make them look bad, that I actually just wanted to understand how it worked. The people at the city were pretty psyched to have it, because I think that they had been trying to get the word out about how to get people to recycle better. So they were pretty much on board.
No, I was going to say, because we're always tight on time here. Can you, if there's a way, because it's a big article. And I encourage people to go to newhavenindependent.org and look it up, because it is pretty much a nice A to Z here. And I would love video too, but I mean the pictures are great. Can you summarize the process?
Yeah, sure. So basically, what happens is that when you put all your stuff in the recycling bin, it gets sorted a few times. The first time it happens is at the curb, where if the people who are picking it up see something they know can't be recycled, they leave it. There's a whole process that happens where people can get educated about how to not have that happen to them. And then after that, it goes to the transfer station, you know, or as most people think of it, the dump. And then from the dump, it goes to this place called an MRF, which is called a MRF. And there it gets kind of like funneled into this like giant Rube Goldberg machine of conveyor belts. Hmm. It's a huge warehouse but through like a series of both like sort of mechanical things, and also there are people working there. The single stream, like, you know, which means like all the materials that get put in the bin get sorted into like paper, metal, plastic, glass. Which are then, by the time it's all over, the things have been sorted and cleaned. And then because it's done really well at the facility that I visited, it then goes to, like, there's a the MRF has like made relationships with various places that actually want to use these materials. So a lot of the paper goes to paper mills. A lot of the metal goes to Canada, if I remember right.
Yeah.
And then like a lot of the plastic goes to a place in Kentucky that, you know, that makes, that, you know, that makes them into other objects. And, you know, so like it's kind of a weird thing because I think that globally there's still a lot of problems
right.
with how things are recycled. I don't think that like, I don't think this is a contradiction. I think it's mostly that we just happen to be in a place where it's going really well.
Right.
You know, it's a small success story in a larger story about, you know, a system with a lot of problems.
Right. You can't necessarily extrapolate that where I live in Windsor, it's working as well as New Haven or even Hartford or what have you. By the way, we're talking with Brian Slattery from the New Haven Independent about recycling in New Haven. Who pays? So the Canada company gets the steel or what have you. Who pays? Do they pay to get that stuff? Like, is there any revenue attached to this?
The whole thing is like a commodity based business, right? So like the city pays the facility to take them, to take the materials in the first place, and on the other side of it, the mills pay for the materials to be able to use them. So that's how the MRF makes money. I didn't get into the nitty gritty of exactly how much money that they're making, but
right.
they did make like a $60 million investment in all of this machinery to make it work. So it must be working for them on some level, right? Like it's turning out to be like a, you know, it's like waste management can be a profitable business. And I think in this case it is.
What's the timetable from curb to getting reused?
Oh, good question. So from the dump to the MRF would only be, I mean, it would be like a couple of days. I think then after that, it can depend. Like sometimes the warehouse is pretty full and then sometimes it's empty. And I don't know how long it takes for the materials to actually get reused once they get to the various mills that they go to.
Right.
But like my impression of that was that there's kind of like a turnover of a few weeks, you know, where there's like some, like when I visited it, there was a lot of stuff waiting to be shipped out.
Right.
But, you know, the guy was saying, yeah, in a couple of weeks, this will be empty again. And then it'll be full again.
Yeah,
they sort of go in this cyclical way, I think.
Brian Slattery from the New Haven Independent. Again, if you want to read about it and look at the images, because it sort of takes you from A to Z, go to newhavenindependent.org. And the thing that also struck me, I mean, again, I don't know if this was like performative or authentic or what have you, but it sounds like the guys that worked the truck, they like their jobs.
Yeah. You know, that was kind of like a big surprise to me, to be honest. Like, I think I was going into this article expecting it to be kind of a lot of bad news.
Right.
And what I found instead was a bunch of people who liked their jobs and took some pride in their work. And also kind of like the fact that the people at the MRF knew where their stuff was going is the part that feels authentic, regardless of how much they want to tell me how good their facility is,
right?
Like it's, you know, the problem with recycling a lot of the time is that like the people at the MRF don't know where the stuff goes.
Right.
They sell it to a broker, and then the broker sells it to wherever, and you know, that's how you get the things where it ends up sort of like dumped in the countryside of some developing country somewhere.
Yep.
But the people here did know where it was going, and that fact speaks for itself in a way that like very little else can.
Yeah, it's not like you asked, you know, where does it go, and they said, I don't bleep it. No, we got to run, Brian. Again, it's a really timely, interesting piece. You know, that's a question that a lot of people ask, including my wife, asks me all the time. And for this particular place, you answered it. So thank you for that kind of journalism. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.